Hobo.
Yeah.
Which, do you have any good stories on him?
Man, I got a lot of stories. You know, obviously going up against him for 4 years, very dominant player, someone who's always practiced hard. I think, you know, obviously made me better as a offensive tackle. Best Hobo stories. There was a day in camp. It was like a scrimmage session on a Saturday. Last scrimmage before break. So most people kind of are checked out on the way. And Hobo comes to me. He's like, man, I'm going full speed today. I'm like, all right, I'm with it. You know, it's time to go. And go on throughout the day, you know, four quarters or whatever, whole hour, 2 hours worth of scrimmage. Get to the last play, you know, and coach is like, you know, this game's on the line, this, that, and the other. Rushes upfield. Take him upfield, run him about 15 yards upfield. He turns, sprints. Baker's running around. Seems somehow to get to Baker, gets like a interception or something, runs it back, ends the scrimmage. That was a great, like, I mean, I wish I had the film. I mean, that was Hobo.
You have no doubts about him playing in this league?
Absolutely. You know, obviously, I think what Carl Lawson has been able to do for, you know, guys similar his size, very comparable, you know, to his athleticism, his weight, and his skill set. Yeah.
Do you think that you could do
the
McNugget challenge, 100 McNuggets an hour with those
offs? No.
My record's 89, so
I think
you could
do that. No, I could do McNugget challenge. Like your number was a little bit on the low side. Did you have any deducted, or what was going on there?
Yeah, you know, personally, I didn't stick to my routine, my breathing routine, and, you know, that's the lowest number that I've done. You know, I'll redo it at my pro day.
Is that the kind of thing you worry may be held against you in some way, or do you think you can make up for it if you put up a big number in the...
Keeping it real, you know, it's going to be held against me. You know, all my numbers will be held against me. If, you know, I want to be, if I'm an offensive tackle, my numbers are going to be compared to other offensive tackles. That's just the reality of it.
Orlando, just how's it feel to be here?
Yeah, it's a blessing, you know, to be here at the combine, to, you know, be at this point in my life. You know, I haven't arrived yet. You know, I'm still working, but it's an incredible blessing.
Armando, have you had any meetings, formal or informal, with the Eagles during this process?
Yes, I've had a lot of formals.
With the Eagles?
I have met with the Eagles, yes.
What about the Bengals?
I meet with them, I believe, today.
Have you tried to honor your father's legacy? I know you've talked about it in the past. I mean, what are the kind of things that you think about when you think of him and your football career?
You know, obviously, I don't necessarily try to model my game after him. You know, I think for me personally, what I learned a lot from my dad was really more mentality. You know, he wasn't the most technical guy, fundamental football player. It was more, you know, the way that he approached the game, his work ethic, all of those things. And for me, for the most part, my fundamentals, I've learned the majority of it from, you know, Jamal Brown and everything that we've worked on throughout the years of my career.
How often have you put your hand on the ground?
I mean, not often.
Yeah.
Not
often. Is that... You know, obviously you've thought about that adjustment, I guess. What do you think about making that adjustment?
Yeah, it's not going to be an issue at all. You know, it was just something that we weren't asked to do really in college, and I'm very capable of it. Yeah, absolutely.
Is there a challenge to adjusting to that? Or?
No, not really. Not for me personally. I haven't had any struggles with it.
When you started on this, did you give any thought to not playing your father's position, you know, trying to do something else?
No, man. I mean, I've been fat my whole life, you know, so I haven't, you know, I wish I was fast. If I was fast, 6'2", I'd probably be playing DB, but God bless me, so.
That's the pressure there.
Yeah, it is what it is, but, you know, I don't necessarily try to live up to his expectations. So I see them.
Like to block the
Mixon again? Joe
Mix? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, man. I mean, you know, honestly, it doesn't really matter who the back is. I'm not going to lie to you. But, you know, obviously, the relationship that me and Joe had, it was great. I loved it. You know, very energetic player and, you know, one of my really good friends.
What makes him such a good player?
Just his versatility. You know, his versatility and ability to, you know, he can take on contact if needed. He can make you miss. You know, he's got great jump cuts, great footwork. And, you know, most importantly, I think he does a really good job of understanding personnel.
You mentioned Hobo. Just what's it like to be here with five of your other teammates? Yeah. How much you guys kind of communicate through this process?
Yeah, honestly, we haven't had much time. You know, it's been very busy for all of us. You know, but I've seen Mark a little bit, obviously. Baker, I've seen him once or twice. Seen Hobo, Dimitri. Haven't seen JT, But it's exciting, man. It's happy. It's a happy time, you know, good time. You know, obviously we're all working.
The team asked you about Baker Mayfield's character, you know, who he was, the person. What would you say? What would your...
Yeah. You know, from a character standpoint, I know obviously there's been a lot of issues in the public eye from, you know, the crotch grabbing, you know, what's happened in Arkansas. But in reality, you know, of you know, who he is as a person, you know, I've never, you know, experienced anything wrong. You know, I've never experienced anything bad. I think, you know, you can ask anyone that knows him. You know, he's an incredible person. You know, for me personally, you know, he's a very supportive leader. You know, he's a worker, man. You know, he's really, really about his craft. And, you know, he's very well respected.
It seemed like during games, sometimes you guys would talk a little more than maybe some other teammates. What goes on in those little conversations?
A lot. You know, obviously, maybe him asking me what I said to, you know, a defensive end, or me asking him what he was saying to that safety. Sometimes it's scheme-related stuff. But, yeah, man, there's a lot of communication. Yeah, I remember a lot. You know, I was, 2003 to 2005. You know, I was basically in there, and then a little bit before that, I don't remember much. I remember being more in Cleveland before that. I was like 3 years old. But yeah, being in Baltimore was really cool. You know, obviously some of my dad's really good friends were, you know, Ray Lewis, Jamal Lewis, Ed Reed, Alan Ricard, you know, Priest Holmes, guys like that. Like he hung out with those guys a lot, and you know, I remember being around them. And you know, people, kids in school handing me Ray Lewis pictures to get signed, and I keep them. So, yeah.
Was Wally Williams also somebody who was a big part of your life? Can you just explain what he has been in terms of a role model or whatever?
Yeah, Wally's been a good person. You know, honestly, I haven't spoke to him in a while, but, you know, I know that, you know, him and my dad were very close.
You watch much tape of your dad? You got to have a lot of film on him, I bet.
Yeah, like I said before, man, I can't really study my dad. You know, he was a very physical player, but... It was more of, you know, mentality than fundamentals. And the game's changed so much, you know, from 1993 to now, and even from 05 to now. And, you know, just his game was very different.
Well, were there any NFL tackles that are playing now or did play in the AFC North or anything that you watched, you know lately?
Yeah, not necessarily in the AFC North. You know, I've watched Villanueva a little bit in the run game. I like his footwork and some of the stuff he does, but he's very, very athletic. For me, you know, my favorite tackle that I've watched is Andrew Whitworth. You know, I watch a lot of his game. Honestly, Trent here in the past few years, I think, like, his techniques have changed a lot. And, you know, he's got a lot of, you know, good stuff. Taylor Lewan, Tennessee, I like a lot of his footwork and all those different things. Russell Okung, you know, he's very similar.
What do you like about Witt? He's a little bit bigger than you, you know. So what do you like about Witt?
His footwork, you know, like I said, he almost plays offensive tackle like an offensive guard. He takes away a lot of space. You know, defensive ends have a really hard time rushing against him. That's one of the reasons he doesn't give up sacks, because when he gets beat, he's 9 yards away from the quarterback. So, you know, very talented, very smart, you know, and hopefully someday I'll get him in. You know, I've just really been a fan of the way that he plays the game. You know, obviously he's played it for a long time and played against some really good talent and done very successful. You know, some of his stuff lately has been a little hitchy there, but for the most part, man, he's very dominant. You know, what he does, he's got great hands, he's got a great punch, and he sets guys up really well.
What do people misunderstand about Baker Mayfield?
Yeah, just really the perception. You know, he's not, you know, who you think he is on the field, off the field, you know, and who he is on the field isn't necessarily what you think either. You know, he's a captain, he's a leader, you know, he's very, you know, focused, man. He's gonna bring everyone together. He's gonna do what he needs to do.
Orlando, a lot of people, most people think you're a first round pick, maybe mid first round or whatever. I don't know if you pay attention to that. Mm-hmm. But what could you sell an NFL team to say, I'm a plug and play tackle that I can give you results right away?
You know, my football IQ, you know, I think it's some of the best, you know, in the country. And I think that's honestly my biggest asset, is I understand the game. You know, I understand the NFL. I understand these schemes and what's expected. I'm a good learner, you know, and I'm a guy that understands, like, you know, my job isn't just going to be given. It's going to have to be taken.
You mentioned football IQ. Yeah. How much credit should be given to your upbringing and being around it as much as you were?
Yeah. I think a lot. You know, obviously, it's something that I've always loved. Football, you know, has been a part of me. You know, I can sit here and talk to you about historical facts and all that stuff, but even when it comes to schemes, you know, I understand schemes and personnel. You know, like you said, growing up around it played a pretty big part in it. Yeah, pass pro, you know, honestly, I think style of rushers, you know, I mean, you don't necessarily see the, you know, 6'8", Reggie White's, the Bruce Smith frames, you know, you got, I mean, Khalil Mack's got a really good size to him, but, you know, for the most part, you know, him and Vaughn and, you know, those more successful guys aren't necessarily, you know, the Reggie White type of scheme guys. No, I haven't.
What's the most difficult thing in terms of Lincoln Riley's offense? You know, what do you think makes it hum as well as it does? Obviously, the talent you guys have, but schematically wise, what impresses you about it?
Taking advantage of players. You know, obviously in college football, I'm not going to say it's easy, but they make it seem easy. And our coaches do a really good job of studying film, finding weaknesses in defenses, whether that be secondary and secondary with corners, safeties, taking advantage of them in certain schemes and their coverages, taking advantage of, you know, certain linebackers or defensive linemen. You know, if a guy's too good, you know, we'll make him play bad. And I think that's one of the reasons that, you know, a lot of times you see these top players, and when it's time to play against us, they don't perform well.
Orlando, I'm sure you're already asked this, but what kind of presence does Baker have in the huddle when you guys do huddle and just in your locker room and around your program?
He's got a very big presence. You know, he's played a big part in our success as a university since he took over as a quarterback. You know, man, he's been everything I think that the coaches wanted out of a starting quarterback at the University of Oklahoma.
Lynn, have you gotten a chance to catch up with Ozzie Newsome at any point?
I haven't had a chance to really sit down and talk to him, but, yeah, I did meet with him. Yeah.
How did you get things turned around after what happened with Tennessee?
Mm-hmm. Personally, I just, you know, made up my mind and, you know, told myself that I wasn't going to let academics, you know, ever be the reason again. You know, it was something that was very important to my mom, very important to my brothers and my dad, and I didn't, you know, take care of my part in high school. So, you know, I made up my mind and told myself that I wasn't going to let that be the reason.
What kind of a player were you the year that you redshirted? How far have you come since then?
I was bad, man. I was really bad. I just wasn't ready. You know, I was behind fifth on the depth chart, not even taking reps in inside or team run, or, you know, I was third on the first freshman group. You know, it was bad. You know, I just wasn't ready. You know, I just didn't have it yet. You know, I had the mentality. Obviously, you know, I'm swinging in practice, but I mean, I'm getting beat, so what does it matter? And, you know, just from there, obviously, me and Jamal started doing a lot more work. You know, he started teaching me the game. My football IQ, you know, I feel like started to really get better, and I really started to grab it. Coach Riley comes in, new offense, and I'm competing against two seniors, and from there, I just, you know, had to do my thing and continue to work.
Who were the DLs at OU at that time that taught you some hard lessons?
List goes on. Charles Tapper, Geno Grissom, Eric Stryker, Oboe was young, Devontae Bond, who else? Chuka, Jordan Phillips. yeah, a lot of guys. Yeah.
Anything that surprised you in the meetings with teams so far this week, or anything that caught you off guard?
No, nothing at all.